Well, I want to take a look at some scriptures this evening in the light of believing. We've looked at a few things. We actually started with Hebrews 11:6, and we were sharing from that scripture where it says that without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please him or please God, for he that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we made the point that the Bible never sets out to prove that God is. He is. And so it's our place to believe that he is, but he is what? Not that he exists, but he is what he says he is. And we looked at, in Exodus, we looked at the scripture that highlights one of his redemptive names, one of his names, and it says, I am the God that what? Healeth thee. So when we come to God, we need to believe that he is what? My healer. We need to believe he is my Savior. We need to believe he is my peace, or you could say he's my Redeemer. He's redeemed me. And so he's redeemed me from the curse of the law. So we looked at these things, and we've looked at believing that the power of God must be present, and not only present for me, but present when you come to receive, and you must believe that it's present, must believe that when you receive it, that I've received it into my body, and we need to believe that it's working in my body. Once received. And again, we talked about the healing power of God being tangible. It's tangible like electricity. You know, you can't see electricity, but we benefit from it. If you don't realize that, turn the light switch off or go stick your finger in a socket and see if it exists. It exists. Electricity exists. You know, I worked around it when I went through college, and even after a year or so after college, I worked on housing projects. I worked through the local electricians local here, local 363, and I worked with journeymen and so forth, and I was left on jobs to run them, even though I wasn't a journeyman. But in any event, I was around in some commercial settings. I was around settings where big power plants we were in. I was in substations up in Suffern, New York, where they had a 500,000 volts, and just the static electricity could kill you. Forget the electricity. The static electricity would kill you. And so there were just things, there were principles that you had to know, otherwise you'd be dead. If you didn't cooperate with the laws of electricity, it would kill you. Or it wouldn't benefit you, one or the other, right? So where there were things that when we went into a substation, you know, they played games, you know, they knew they had. I remember when I was there was a transformer that came in from Pennsylvania. It was a line that came in. It was 500,000 volts. And so they said to me, go over there and pick up this wrench. Well, they knew they were opening a switch up. They knew it. So they sent me over to pick something up, right? And when they open this switch up, it arcs. It just arcs. You see this big arc. It opens a switch up, and it arcs like this. You see this big arc of electricity. And when it breaks the opening, it explodes. It makes a big bang like dynamite because it's literally breaking that connection. And so if you're there, if you're not ready for it, you come up off the ground about 3 feet, because, I mean, it goes boom, like dynamite, and you're standing right near it. So it was a game. You know, they like to play little tricks on, you know, how construction workers are. Well, you don't. I learned. So anyways, but my point in saying all that was not the joke, but it was that you need to cooperate with the laws of electricity. The same way we need to cooperate with the laws that govern the anointing power of God. Otherwise, it won't benefit you. And it's there to benefit us, just like electricity. But if we don't know how to cooperate with it, if we don't know how to deal with it, then we don't benefit. See? And it's the same thing with the healing power of God or the anointing power of God. So just looking at this, we looked at a number of scriptures, and we've really focused on like three or four different accounts. We've looked at the man with the palsy let down by four through the roof. We've looked at the woman with the issue of blood. We've looked at also the centurion. We've looked at that. We've looked at also where there were a few other accounts that we've looked at. We've looked at also last week, we looked at in Jesus' hometown where he came in, and Luke chapter 4, and we looked at where he, it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue and he read from the book. He read from the scriptures. And he started to share that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to do what? To preach the gospel. And so they got upset. And so we looked at these accounts, and it's important to look at them because it gives us principles on what caused the anointing, the healing power of God to operate in Jesus' ministry. So if we can look at these examples, what does it say? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it operated that way under his ministry, then it has to operate that same way today. And so if we look at that and we see that this is how this initiated this healing, then that's going to operate the same way today. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's look at Luke chapter 4. And this particular account, again, where Jesus is going into the synagogue, as it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. So we know this is where Jesus was brought up. And it says, and as his custom was. So it was customary for him to go into the synagogue. And it says, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then what did he do? He closed the book, and he gave it to the minister and sat down, and all of them were, at that point, they were focused on him, or they said they fastened their eyes on him. And then what did he say? And then he began to say unto who? Them. That's important. Them. He didn't say it to two or three people. He said it unto them. And he said what? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So he's saying this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, meaning what? The power of the Lord was present to heal. Because he said, the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, what other scripture comes to mind? He was declaring that the power of God was present to heal. What does Acts 10:38 say? It says how that God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we can see here that scripture verse in Acts 10:38 depicts or reveals just exactly what this said here. He said, the Spirit of God has what? Is upon me because he hath anointed me. So he was anointed, and what did he go on and say? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So he was saying, I'm here to heal you. And what did the whole group of them say? Who was this? This is Joseph's son? Who do you think you are? Because this is the town he grew up in. They knew him. And he had been going into the synagogue, so they knew him. And now he's getting up saying, I'm here to heal you. Huh. That didn't go over too well, did it? No. And we can see at the end, down in verse 28 and 29, they got up so upset that what did they do? They were going to kill him. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. And if anybody's been to Nazareth, you can see it's perched up on it, on, you know, that area is overlooking the plains of Megiddo. And boy, I'll tell you, it's up there. It's up there. I don't know what the height is, but boy, when you look down, you don't want to fall or be thrown off, one or the other. Because there are rocks at the bottom. There's no soft landing. So he was proclaiming, he was boldly proclaiming that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And so you can see here, we can see the people present, what happened? They didn't believe. And so what happened? The power of the Lord didn't benefit them. So we can see this principle here that believing is key. They didn't believe, and it didn't benefit them, right? So as we were sharing on Sunday, you know, when we talk about oppression and we talk about something that oppresses, when we're talking about in Isaiah 10:27, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, that word yoke is also a burden or something that oppresses. And just using what the definition of that from the dictionary, the word oppression means unjust or cruel exercise of authority or power. And that's just exactly what the devil does. He's come to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if something's stealing and something's destroying and something's killing, please don't say, well, God's teaching me something, because that's not true. God said, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So it's not from God. Amen. So let's take a few moments here. So as we were sharing, you can turn over to Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at this account again. And we can see just, you know, again, referencing Luke chapter 4, because they didn't believe that the healing power is present, that it was impossible for them to benefit from them because they didn't believe. They shut it right down. Even though he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So it was present to heal. And they didn't believe that. So let's look at Mark chapter 5. And here's something to consider that we're going to look at Mark. We're going to look at the woman with the issue of blood. We're going to look at, again, the man with the palsy let down through the roof. This is Luke chapter 5. And then we're going to look at Luke 7. This is the centurion's servant. But in all these accounts, one of the things that's evident is that it was not their faith that caused the power of God to be present to heal. Their faith didn't cause the power to be present. But it was their faith that was necessary for them to benefit from it. So their faith didn't cause the power of God to be present to heal them, but it was their faith that caused the power of God to be released or activated in their life, or them to benefit, right? Now, you know, again, we're talking about these accounts here. So don't walk away and say that faith doesn't cause the power of God to be present to heal, because there are settings where the corporate faith of people coming together can cause God to begin to move through in that setting. So don't walk away and say, well, the faith of people present don't cause the power of God to be present. In these accounts, it wasn't necessary. Right? Does everybody understand that? Because we can see just today, there are many settings, there are settings where corporately the people come together in faith, believing God for his presence to be manifested. So there are situations that we see that. So Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, and we see this, again, we know the story here. She had an issue of blood, how many years? 12 years. Suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And you can see here that there's no indication, but there is no faith involved here. She's spending her money. She's not any better, right? She's going to some doctors. They're probably doing the best they can. And she's really not exercising any faith in God. There's no indication of that here. And she's not getting any better. It says she's getting worse, right? And then what happened? It said, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And most of the modern translations say, she continued to say. So it wasn't just one and done. She didn't say, I'm going to touch Jesus. It said, as she made her way, she kept saying. That's what I think the NIV and some of the New Living, some of the modern translations say, she kept saying. If I touch his clothes or the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be healed. Right? She kept saying it. So she, you can see here, she believed that the power of God was present to heal her. She heard of Jesus. What did she hear? She must have heard that he healed. And that if you just touch him, you'll be healed. And that he was willing to heal. And that all that came to him were healed. She had to have heard that. Because if she didn't hear all, then that leaves you with, gee, I wonder if I'll get healed or not. So she had to have heard something that all who went to him were healed. Because now think of the culture she lived in. She was unclean. And so why would you risk not knowing if you're going to be the one to get healed or not? You couldn't risk that, because there were consequences if you were caught out in society unclean. And so it could have meant that she could have been, I don't know if it meant she could have been stoned, but they could have put a hurt on her. Right? And so why would you do that? Why would you risk that going out if she hadn't heard something that said, everybody who touches Jesus gets healed? So she was so convinced, she was so determined that she was going to get healed based on something she heard. And what she heard caused what in her? Faith. And so what happened? It says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And verse 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue or power, or you could say anointing or the healing power of God, went out of him. He turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples started to grill him. What do you mean, who touched your clothes? You see all these people pressing about you? They're all touching you, Jesus. And then what happened? The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And what did he say? This is what we want to glean from this. Daughter, thy faith, or you could say your believing, has done what? Has made you whole. So your believing. So one of the things that we're going to look at in all these scriptures is that there's two methods, or you could say two ways, that people are healed. One is the people initiated the healing. They initiated it. What do I mean by that? They approached Jesus. They came, they initiated, they came to Jesus believing that he was going to heal them. That's one method. The other is, when we've looked at before, we've mentioned this before, one is that we initiate it, we come to Jesus believing that he is the healer, right? This is Hebrews 11:6. We come believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The other is, we can look at from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit in operation, right? That's another method. That's not me approaching Jesus. That's Jesus approaching the one who's sick. How? By the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. So those two methods are available. And so what we're doing is we can see in these accounts, we can see that these individuals, the woman with the issue of blood, the man let down through the roof, the centurion, they approached Jesus. They came to him. They weren't waiting. We have the other account that we can see, I believe it's in John, where Jesus approached, or he went to the pool of Bethesda. And that man wasn't looking for Jesus. He didn't even know who. He just said, what did Jesus say? Would you like to be healed? And he said, I have nobody to help me. He said, what did he say? Rise up and be healed. That was Jesus approaching him, or we could say, being led by the Spirit of God, right? That man didn't go looking for Jesus. Jesus approached him. So we have these accounts, as we were saying, to help us to see from these accounts how to operate and cooperate with the anointing power of God. So we can see here that he said, what did he say? Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So let's ask this question. This woman, as she's approaching Jesus and she's pressing her way through this multitude to touch his garment, does she believe that the power of God is present to heal her? Yes, she does. That's a question. Does she believe that the power of God is present to heal? The answer is yes. Did she receive the healing power of God? Yes, she did. So we can see here that if we're going to receive healing, this is the point here. If we're going to receive healing as this woman did, then we're going to have to do what? We're going to have to believe the same things she believed. I'm going to say that again. If we're going to receive like this woman with the issue of blood, we're going to have to believe the same things she believed. What did she believe? She believed that the healing power of God was present to heal her. She believed that. We're going to have to believe just like she believed, right? We have to believe that the healing power is present. So if we're going to benefit from the healing power of God, then we must first believe that it's present, right? And we shared on Sunday, you can believe that the healing power of God is present, but your physical senses don't have any awareness of it, right? There's no manifestation, there's no evidence of the healing power of God present. We walked through that. We looked at these same accounts. All the multitude that was thronging Jesus, Were they aware that the healing power of God was present? No. Did they benefit of it? Benefit from it? No. And we looked at all of the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. They were in the house. They were surrounding Jesus, and the man with the palsy couldn't get in. What'd they do? They let the roof. They tore up the roof. All those individuals that were in there surrounding Jesus. And it said in verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Were they aware? Did they see any evidence of it? No. But the power was present to heal, and they didn't believe. Did it benefit them? No. It only benefited, and Jesus said when they let him down through the roof, it said he saw their faith. He saw their faith. And we talked about that. There were that when you look at the woman with the issue of blood and you look at the man with the palsy, they both had obstacles. They had, in the woman's case, they had a multitude of people that blocked her almost from getting to Jesus. So was the same thing with the man with palsy. They had to tear up the roof to get to Jesus, right? So they had an obstacle, but they believed. They had to believe that the power of God was there present to benefit them. Otherwise, they would have quit. They would have just given up. They were so convinced. They were so determined to get what they believed they would get. And did they get healed? Absolutely, they got healed. Right? Hallelujah. So go over to Luke chapter 5. Let's look at this again as we're talking about this. This is the man with the palsy. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 17. And it said, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. See, he was teaching. That there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And what? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hallelujah. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And then it goes on. And we know the rest of the story. They brought him in. They tried to get in. He couldn't get in. So what'd they do? They got up on the roof, tore it up. I always think about it. We can just read over these stories and go, isn't that nice? But you just tell me, you sitting in a room and you hear bah, 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 all this stuff, debris coming down, because it had to be debris, right? They're sitting on there, and Jesus didn't say, what the heck is going on? Would you tell the disciples to go up there and shut that down? What is going on? We don't read anything about that. Nothing. Jesus kept teaching, right? He kept teaching. I mean, it almost reminds me of Martha and Mary, right? Martha's all upset, and Jesus said, Martha, Martha, what is the problem? Right? Mary has chosen the better thing. And so here, Jesus just was not moved by all of that, and it's very possible the scripture doesn't say, but the Holy Ghost may have, you know, alerted him. You may have known they coming down another way. They couldn't get in. And maybe, we don't know. The scripture doesn't say, but maybe one of the disciples, maybe somebody said, hey, Jesus, they're trying to get in. Maybe he knew, just naturally. We don't know. All we do know is they tore up the roof. And he was pleased. How many of you be pleased somebody tearing up your roof? He was pleased. He said, boy, their faith, they're pleased, right? He said he was pleased with that, right? He was so pleased, he got on those religious folks' case. So we can see here in verse 17, it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So what does that mean? The yoke of sickness was destroyed because of the healing power of God. So it is evident. We can see it's evident from this account that this man believed that the healing power of God was present. And because of that, what happened? He benefited from it. We can see that. How do we know he was healed? We can see he benefited. So here's the point when we look at all of this. Your unbelief will cause your condition to remain unchanged. Your unbelief will cause your condition to remain unchanged. Or you could look at it another way. Your unbelief will cause the yoke that's oppressed you to remain. A yoke of sickness. So believing that the healing power of God is present will position us to receive. So we have to believe that the healing power of God is present. What does that do? It opens us up. It positions us to receive. That's what that does. Now let's jump over to Luke chapter 7. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. And this is, again, the centurion and this account of his servant who was on his deathbed. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. And it says, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, see, this is the point, he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. They're talking about the centurion. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent, well, you could say he sent another group. He sent another group of friends to Jesus, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. So he's really humbling himself here. He's coming to Jesus and he says what? But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He's just saying, you just speak the word. Just speak the word only. I think that's what the King James says. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He said, for I am also a man set under authority, having unto me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And so we can see here that the centurion benefited from the healing power of God. Why? Because he believed. He believed that it was present to heal. And he benefited, why? Because he believed. He believed that it was present. So, and here's the thing. Without believing, his servant wouldn't have changed. It wouldn't have changed anything. So we can see here in this account that believing was the key here. His faith, his believing. Because if he hadn't believed, right, his servant would not have changed, would not have healed, probably would have died. So this is key here, right? So when did this centurion receive this believing or this faith? When did he receive that? Well, look in verse 3. If you're right there, verse 3, it says what? When he heard of Jesus. It says when he heard of Jesus, he did what? He sent some elders of the Jews. So he heard something about Jesus, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She sent something. She heard something, not sent something. She heard something about Jesus that instilled faith in her to leave her quarters and press through that crowd to get to Jesus. And no different, this centurion, he heard something about Jesus that if you just ask him, he will heal. Because Jesus, will thou be healed? So we can see a number of accounts in Scripture where Jesus would say, "Will thou be healed? Will thou be made whole?" So we can see here that this centurion believed that the healing power of God was present. Why do we know that? Because he benefited from it. His servant was healed. So we can see that. So looking at these examples, when we look at these examples, what did the people who were healed believe? This is a question that we want to ask. What did the people that were healed, what did they believe? What did the people who were not healed believe? So you have to ask yourself that question. What did the people who were healed believe? And what did the people that were not healed, what did they believe? The ones that were healed believed that the healing power of God was present to heal them. And the ones that didn't get healed, they didn't believe. They didn't believe that the healing power of God was present to benefit them. And they weren't. See? So these types of healing examples, those who came to Jesus to be healed, we're seeing here, they initiated the healing process with what? Their faith, with their believing. They didn't wait for Jesus to come. So when we look at these examples, when you walk away, those that, as we said, those that did not believe and those that did believe, in other words, in these examples that we covered, the centurion, the woman with the issue of blood, and the man that was let down through the roof, we can see these examples of those that didn't believe and those that did, those that benefited and those that didn't benefit. So we have to walk away, and from this we can learn that this is what we have to do. If the woman with the issue of blood had to believe that the power of God was present to heal, and she initiated it, so will we. We have to believe when we assemble as believers. If we're assembling as believers, what did Jesus say in Matthew 18? He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst." So if he's in our midst, then the healing power of God is present to heal. And we looked at 1 John 2:20. Why don't we turn over there? First John 2:20. It says, "But you have an unction," or you could say an anointing, "but you have an anointing from" who? "The Holy One, and you know all things." So I have an unction, I have an anointing, what? That's in me. So that means if God is in me, and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law, if God's in me, then Jehovah Rapha is in me. Healing is in me. So if you never in a setting where we gather together as believers, Jehovah Rapha, the anointing, the healing power of God is present where? In you. Inside of you. Why? Because eternal life is in you. So again, we spent this time to look at this principle that we have to believe that the power of God is present. Number one, we got to believe that it's in me. You got to believe it's in me and working in me. And then that's what teaching is for. Now, if you're not at that place, then you come. There are different, as we shared, there are different ways that the healing power of God can be administered. And we know that just from Mark chapter 16, it says, "And they shall" what? "Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And you can look at James chapter 5, where they anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. So there are different ways, and we looked at Paul where cloths were taken from him that had actually touched his anointed body. And they took those cloths to the sick and they were healed. So there are different ways that the healing power of God can be administered. But we have to also just get back to the place that whether someone lays hands on you or puts an anointed cloth on you or anoints you, prays a prayer of faith, that you've still got to believe that the healing power of God is present in whatever way it's being administered to benefit you. Otherwise, it won't benefit you. Right? Does everybody understand that? That you've got to believe that God is good and that he anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. So he went about healing not just some, but all who were oppressed. So that means anything, any sickness, anything that's troubling you, that tells me that there's not one sickness or disease or malady that cannot be healed by the healing power of God, the anointing power of God. Not one. Not one sickness, not one malady, not one disease. Because here, what does it say in Deuteronomy 28:61? It says, every sickness and every plague not written in the book of this law is what? It's a curse. Deuteronomy 28:61. Every sickness and every plague not written in the book of this law is a curse. In Galatians 3:13, Christ has what? Redeemed me from the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentile. So we are blessed. We are the healed. But we've got to believe that the healing power of God is not only present within me, but it's present when we come. And I think it's so important, because I've heard, and again, we know Brother Hagin had a special ministry. That's what Jesus called it. He said, I've given you a special healing ministry. But we don't have to wait for someone special to lay hands upon us. We can believe that the healing power of God is present to heal, and I can initiate that, and I can reach out and receive my healing. Or if a minister is present and nothing is called out, or there isn't a move of the Spirit, you can initiate it, just like that woman reached out and pressed her way to Jesus. She initiated that with her faith. And so often I've heard Brother Hagin say, he said, you just get me to the church and I'm going to have that minister pray for me and I'm going to have him lay hands on me. He initiated it. See, sometimes in church settings, we're waiting for the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit or God to operate through someone. What if that doesn't happen? Do you just say, oh, well, I just go home empty-handed? Why? See, we need to get unchurched in some of this stuff and just take the scripture as it is and say, I'm coming today to get my healing, whether or not it's called for, whether or not we see a move of the Spirit, whether or not I'm coming to get it, and I'm walking out with it. And we need to have that kind of faith and that kind of belief that I'm not waiting. I'm initiating it. I'm initiating it. You see. Is everybody getting a hold of this? Sometimes we're waiting on things and God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to do something because it's already been paid for. See? Praise God. Hope we're getting a little more light in this. Let's not wait and sit and wait for things to happen. Let's make things happen. Faith does what? Faith takes. Faith acts. Faith acts. That woman with the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus. She didn't wait for Jesus to come to her. She got out in society where she wasn't supposed to be and pressed her way to Jesus. She went where the healing power of God was. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that healing is present not only in us, but we thank you that as far as you're concerned and your word is concerned, we are healed. And we thank you that we have been healed. Whose own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we have been healed. If we have been healed, then we are healed. And we thank you for it, Father. And we have dominion and authority over these bodies. And we thank you, and we decree that our bodies are healed. Our bodies are whole. And we thank you that the healing power of God is received in our bodies. And we thank you that it's working in our bodies, affecting a healing and a wholeness in our bodies. Thank you that our bodies are strong and healthy. And we thank you that every cell and every organ of our body functions in the perfection that you made it to function in. And we forbid any malfunction in our bodies in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for these truths that are evident and working in our lives. And we embrace them, we believe it, and we thank you that it's working in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Embrace the truth. Speak the truth. What does it say? The word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And we thank you that the word is what? Quick and alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm trusting and believing. You know, when I hear these things, I know that, you know, there are certain things that society requires and demands. And, you know, just like we heard with this, you know, where we have epidemics of things that break out in society. I understand that. Wouldn't it be wonderful that if people knew, you go to that place, and when you go there, you'll get the healing that you desired. I'm telling you that it's coming. And the more truth that we get in us, there's going to come a time where people will come just because they know that when they come here, the atmosphere of healing is here. You know, when you look at just, you know, that's why I say a people came during Brother Hagin's time. We see it. We saw it in Catherine Coleman's ministry. We saw it in all of these people. Benny Hinn's ministry. People came, what? Expecting something. Expecting to be healed. And that atmosphere of faith caused people to be healed without even being touched. So I'm convinced that the more we teach on this subject, the more we embrace it and believe it, then when we come, we believe that the healing power is present to heal, that you're going to see it noised abroad. You go to that place, and when you go there, you'll walk out healed and whole. See, I believe that. I do. I believe it. And you're going to see it in society that when this great awakening begins to happen, what does it say? It says that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon what? All flesh. So we're going to see some things that are greater than what we saw in these earlier times. And I believe hospitals will be emptied and people will be just healed because of the presence of God. Amen. Amen. But we've got to get it working in our own lives. We've got to embrace the power of God and believe that it's working and it's working in me, right? First way is to believe that the power of God is in you and that you lay hands on the sick expecting people to be healed. You lay hands on them and tell them. You know, it's one thing to say somebody else is anointed, but the scripture says you are. You're anointed to do this. And so you go out and people say, well, who do you think? Well, God's anointed me to do that. You don't have to be cocky about it. You just say what the word says. God has anointed us to lay hands on the sick. He's anointed me to lay hands on the sick. And do you mind if I lay hands upon you? You'll be healed. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you tonight. We're so blessed to be a part of the family of God. And we thank you that you are working in and through each one of us in our areas that we go into to lay hands on the sick, to pray with people, to help people, to break the bondage of sickness and disease in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.